One day when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." What a great, great declaration that is. In fact, June, you singing that, it caused me to remember there's an account of a preacher from the 1800s, and he was preaching in a new facility as a guest, and so he wanted to check the acoustics. So he climbs up in the pulpit and he belts out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And unbeknownst to him, there was somebody in the balcony who heard those words and was brought under conviction and to faith because he heard the great words about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Might that even happen today? Wouldn't that be great? Well, our scripture reading today is going to be found in the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm just going to read two verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll read verses 3 and 4. And while you're finding that in your New Testaments, just a quick announcement and then an introduction to it. As by way of reminder, I do want to encourage everybody to be reading through the book of Ephesians. You should be able to pretty easily do it at least once a week, maybe even once a day. It's a small book, and the reason I'm encouraging you to do it is because, Lord willing, in a few weeks, we are going to start, that'll be our Sunday morning series. We'll be going through the book of Ephesians. Things could change. We had plans tonight, and it's changed, and so you never know. But right now, that's the plan, is in a few weeks. And so do be reading through that great little book of Ephesians. And before we get into the message and I read the text today from 2 Corinthians, I do want to kind of relay a little experience that I had some months back. As I was leaving church on Sunday morning, and I get on my bike and I'm on my way home. I'm on Broadway Extension going south, and as it goes over to 44, I noticed that there's this big billboard there, right? You're getting off Broadway Extension and onto 44. It's one of these new electronic billboards, and as I was riding past, I had to chuckle because I looked up and it flashed right before my eyes. It said, "Jesus won $1,000. You know, or maybe it said Jesus won $10,000. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize this. Of course, it was an advertisement for either the lottery or a casino. And I just thought to myself, you know, I didn't know Jesus played the lottery, you know, or I didn't know that he actually went to the casino, but there it is. Jesus won $1,000. Well, it was pretty obvious to me that this advertisement for either the Oklahoma lottery or one of the casinos, that who they were talking about was actually a different Jesus. It was, in fact, Jesus, I suppose. And so congratulations to Jesus for winning the $1,000. But I wanted to mention that because, this week, the holiday of Halloween is upon us, and it is a day where people dress up as something that they are not. And when we think about our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, it is a name that is often used. It is used as curses. It's used in many religions. And many religions masquerade an idolatrous misrepresentation of someone they call Jesus. But it's not Jesus. It is a different Jesus. And a different Jesus is very often portrayed in our society in general, in religions around the world, and even in houses of worship that have the name of Jesus over its door. Now, Jesus Christ is the greatest person to ever walk the earth, and there is no greater question or questions for us to ask of ourselves than this. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is He? And not only who is Jesus Christ, but what did He do? I mean, eternity, you might say, hinges on how we answer that question. Who is Jesus Christ? And what did He do? Now there is, though that is a great question to ask, there is no greater deception in life than for someone to portray or promote someone as Jesus when they are in fact not the real Jesus. And this has been a tactic of the devil, the evil one, that great deceiver, Satan himself. He has done this from the early days of the church. And it continues down to our very day, where not everyone who talks about Jesus is actually talking about the real Jesus. In fact, they're preaching a different Jesus. A Jesus that cannot save you from your sins. He is not the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so if you have 2 Corinthians chapter 11 before you, I would ask you if you're willing and able to stand, and I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4 as we think today about a different Jesus. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. And oh, may that not be so of us today. And let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank you for your goodness to us in sustaining us in the week past, for bringing us here on this in this day, reminding us of your faithfulness, that you promised that until the end of the age there would be a summer and winter and cold and heat. We thank you that you are our faithful God. We thank you for sending us your Son, our Savior, and for your Scripture, your truth. And by the power of your Spirit, might you guide us into all truth today and protect us from deception and falsehood. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, thinking a little bit today about this text and the subject matter of a different Jesus. Now, there are three great monotheistic religions in the world. Monotheistic, it's just, it essentially means one God. And these three religions all believe that there is but one God. You have this belief in Judaism, you have it in Islam, and you have it in Christianity. And I've talked to people in the past, and I have often heard asserted that, you know, all three of these religions essentially believe in the same God. You know, it's all the same God. You know, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, you know, a little difference here and there, but essentially the same. And I want to say very clearly that this is not so. Because the God or the gods that are represented and presented in these three religions are very different gods, and their description of the Lord Jesus Christ are descriptions of different Jesuses. They are a very different Jesus depending on what religion is telling you about Jesus. Now again, the name Jesus and the word Jesus is used. It is used all the time. You hear the name Jesus, but the meaning that is poured into the name Jesus varies a whole lot. We see that just in language in general. You know, I mean, we think about how words have changed. Words like marriage or men or women or love. You know, these words have taken on a different meaning in our society. And so too, the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ often has a different meaning depending on who is speaking about it. So I want to just to begin our message and just kind of give a little sketch of how other religions present the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll start off with Judaism. The Jesus of Judaism is much different than the Jesus of the Bible. In fact, if you look in the Bible, it will describe their view of Jesus. They see Jesus as the illegitimate son of Mary. Many will admit that he was a teacher and a great miracle worker. But there was a big problem that they had with his teaching because he claimed to be the Christ, the son of the living God. And so Judaism teaches that he was executed for his troubles in making such a blasphemous claim to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. They claim that after Jesus was executed, that his disciples stole the body away and just made a great claim that he was actually raised from the dead. And this is how the religion of Christianity was founded. And so that's how maybe Judaism back then would see Jesus. As I was looking some of this stuff up, there are quite a variety of ways in which Judaism presents Jesus. One of the modern descriptions that I found interesting was they said that Jesus was a false Messiah, that Jesus is a failed Messiah because he failed to fulfill all the promises of the Messiah in the Old Testament. And so they see Jesus as a failed Messiah. Can I say that Judaism rejects the biblical Jesus? They have a different God. In fact, Jesus told the Judaizers of his day in John 8:42, he says, if God were your father, you would love me. And the reason that they hated Jesus is because God was not their father, though they laid a claim to it. And so the Jesus in Judaism is a different Jesus, a Jesus that is other than what is presented in Scripture. Well, what about the religion of Islam? Well, the Jesus of Islam is a little different than the Jesus that is presented in Judaism. In fact, you might even say that their view of Jesus might even be a little bit better than the way that Judaism presents Jesus, because I did find that that Islam does claim that Jesus was sinless. I couldn't find corroboration for this, but I think remember reading in the past that Islam holds that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. I put a caveat on that because I couldn't find it, but I do think that is so. So in a way, they have a high view of Jesus and his birth. They hold that Jesus is a prophet, but of course not the top prophet, and that he was willing to be a slave of Allah. That's essentially all that he is a slave of Allah and just one of the prophets, but not a, not of course the top, the main prophet. The Jesus of Islam, interesting enough, did not die on a cross. That would be a big difference than the Jesus of the Scripture. that the Jesus of Islam did not die on a cross. In fact, do you know who they say died on the cross? Was none other than Judas Iscariot, is who they claim actually died upon the cross. Well, one of the big, maybe the main difference with some of these others and the Jesus of Islam is that their Jesus is not the Son of God. This, they put their foot down very hard and draw a clear line in the sand. In fact, one of their, you might even say, unforgivable or unpardonable sins is the sin of shirk. And that is to say that God has a son. That is an unforgivable sin in the religion of Islam, to say God has a son. In fact, they are so sure about this and so adamant about this that they have inscribed it on the Dome of the Rock, the mosque that is there in Jerusalem. And they have a message, along with quite a few messages, but on the Dome of the Rock, they have this message to the Christians, which says this, and this is their own translation into English: O people of the book, do not exaggerate in your religion. The Messiah, Jesus, Son of Mary, was only a messenger of God. God is only one God. Far be it that he should have a son. It befitteth not God that he should take unto himself a son. And so the Jesus of Islam didn't die on a cross. Maybe he had a miraculous birth, but he didn't die on a cross. And he is not the Son of God. Might I say that is a very different Jesus than the Jesus of the Scripture. To move aside from those two great monotheistic religions and to kind of maybe move closer to the realm of Christianity, let me mention a couple of religions within, I would say, cultic Christianity. Now think of Mormonism. The Jesus of Mormonism is a much different Jesus than our Jesus. In fact, Mormonism is not even monotheistic. They don't just believe in one God. There's a whole bunch of gods within Mormonism. Christianity teaches a great truth that God became man in the incarnation, in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mormonism is the very opposite of Christianity, because in Mormonism, man becomes a god. I mean, it's the very opposite of Christianity. In fact, Mormonism holds to many gods and will say something as this, that as man is, God once was, and as God is, man will become. Because the God whom they present to people used to be a man who became a god. In fact, their God, the Father, has flesh and bones, and many spirit children, along with many wives. And two of his spirit children are rather famous, because their Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan. Isn't that a different kind of Jesus? A Jesus who is the spirit brother of Satan. And in fact, their Jesus had many wives in the spirit realm, the Marys and Martha, and he had a whole heap of them. At least their Jesus. The Jesus of Mormonism is a very, very different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. And so beware when you hear them talking about Jesus. Yes, they use the name. They use the word, but the meaning that is poured into the name is very, very different than the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses is also quite different than our Jesus, because their Jesus is not Jehovah. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Jehovah, but not for the Jehovah's Witness. Their Jesus is not divine, their Jesus is not God, their Jesus is not Lord. In fact, our most basic creed, our most basic confession is Jesus is Lord. But Jesus is not Lord for the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witness. In fact, their Jesus is, he has an important place in creation because he was the first created being. The first thing that God ever made was this person of Jesus. He is considered a God, but he is not the God. In fact, he is none other than an angel. Maybe even the archangel Michael, who divested himself of his angelness and came to be a human. Again, a much, much different kind of a Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. You see, their Jesus was not even raised from the dead bodily. Oh yeah, it was some kind of spiritual thing, but they do not believe their Jesus did not come out of the tomb bodily. Not human. And a very different Jesus. Well, moving aside from cultic Christianity, we might see a lot of different Jesuses presented in corrupt Christianity. Or even apostate Christianity, still under the heading of Christianity, but the Jesus that is presented is a very, very different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. You had the liberal Jesus from the liberal churches, where that Jesus is not God. He is not divine. Of course, he is not virgin born. He is only a good man. He's a good prophet. He's a good teacher. Maybe he's an example for life that we ought to follow. And he's just a pretty good old guy that maybe we can, you know, we can learn some stuff from. Just a pretty, cream of the crop among men. Well, that's a different Jesus. There's this tolerant Jesus that is presented in a lot of churches, that this Jesus embraces all sin, but oh, he did not die for sin or came to save from sin. And you don't want to talk about the blood of Jesus and the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, because their Jesus is a much different kind of Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. There's the magic genie type of Jesus that, you know, if you just rub his face and you rub it just right, you might get what you want. You know, there's the kind of Jesus that is out there within the, quote, Christian churches. And I'm sure I could go on and on with many, many different descriptions of Jesus. You got the woke Jesus. You got the right-wing Jesus. You got the social justice Jesus, the kingdom now Jesus. I've even seen you've got a transgender Jesus. You got a Jesus for anybody and whatever that they want. You can find a Jesus to fit what they're looking for. It seems that there is a Jesus to suit any taste and every preference and any political persuasion. You can find a Jesus that matches what people are looking for. In fact, there's a song, I don't might be familiar with it, by Depeche Mode, Your Own Personal Jesus. You know, you just have your own personal Jesus. Whatever you think Jesus is, you can just have your own personal one. And so there are many, many Jesuses that are presented in the world. A different Jesus than the biblical Jesus. But do you know that the real Jesus warned of this kind of deception that permeates our world and the world's great religions, and even under the auspices of the Christian religion? In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 5, he said that he warned that many will come in my name and say that I am the Christ, It's not just going to be a few here or there. It's not just going to be a few oddball false prophets here and there, but there's going to be a whole heap of them. Many of them. And they come in Christ's name. They use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and they say, hey, I am the anointed one. I am going to tell you about Jesus, or even some, I am Jesus. And Jesus warned about this. It is the same in our text. The Apostle Paul was concerned about this church in Corinthians, and I'll read the text again, and he says, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or you received a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear with this beautifully. Oh, here you have a church and the preachers, the evangelists, or whatever, they're coming to town, and the message that they bring, it just wasn't quite in line with the scripture, but oh, they talked about Jesus, they talked about the Spirit, they talked about the gospel. The only problem is that it was a different Jesus. It was a different gospel, and it was another spirit that they were presenting. And so in this day of deception, when there's so many different kinds of Jesuses are presented in the world, who is the real Jesus? The real Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who can take away the sins of the world? Well, in fact, Jesus asked his disciples a similar type of question in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13 and 14, that when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Oh, and they answered, oh, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Isn't that interesting? When the real Jesus is right there, and then you say, okay, who do people say that I am? And there's a whole variety of theories that were around on who Jesus Christ really was. You know, John the Baptist raised from the dead, you know, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, Elijah, just the list goes on. A good teacher, a good prophet, you know, here and there. It's just like today. Many, many theories about who Jesus Christ is. But then he turns again after he hears their answer, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Not who all the crowd say that I am, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You see, Peter got it right, that Jesus is not just a prophet, he's not just a teacher, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this truth about the Lord Jesus did not come from flesh and blood, but God the Father himself revealed it to the Apostle Peter. Did you know that the truth about the real Jesus can only be revealed by the real God? Unless the Holy Spirit operates upon a sinner, they will never see the real Jesus. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 27, he says, no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father and those whom the Father chooses to reveal him. You see, it can only come by divine revelation, as it does here to Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it, but the Father revealed it, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so when we think of the real Jesus, we must say that Jesus is the Christ. Christ is not his last name. It is his title. It is his moniker, the Messiah, Christ. Means anointed one. It means that he is the chosen one, the only one within all of humanity. It is though that God poured his oil upon and anointed him and set him apart from every other human being and says, this guy is the only guy. He is the unique person in all of history that God set apart to be the Savior of sinners. He is the only one who fulfilled all of the prophecies about the promised Messiah all through the Old Testament. Hundreds of these, and only Jesus Christ fulfills them. He is the Christ. He is the one that all the arrows point to, and the anointing oil of the Spirit fell upon. He is the Christ. I tell you, Jesus is not like everybody else. He's not one of the other prophets, one of the other teachers, one of the other rabbis, one of the other great leaders in history. There is no one like Jesus Christ because he is the Christ. He's the only one. There's no one like Jesus. And you know that no one could be the Christ except Jesus. Out of all the people in all of history that's already happened or that will come, nobody else could be the Christ or the Messiah except Jesus. And if Jesus Christ is not the Christ and the Messiah, then there will never be a Christ or Messiah that will save us from our sins, because he's the Christ. He is the only one, the anointed one of God the Father. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. Now, Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. In his prayer in John 17 and verse 5, and he says, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world began. Isn't that interesting? There he is, you know, on earth in a certain time, you know, in history, but he says, Father, glorify me with this glory I had with you even before the world began, before time, because he is eternal. The one whose goings forth are from old, from the days of eternity. And this eternal one is the eternal Son. This cannot be any clearer within Scripture that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. At his baptism, when the Spirit descends and a voice comes from heaven, and the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Islamic world shudders and says it's the sin of shirk. But I tell you, this is the truth, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. At the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father also said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. He's the Christ, he's the prophet, he's the Son that we must listen to. And I tell you, this truth about the Lord Jesus and him being the Son, it rubs the Muslims the wrong way, and it really rubbed the Jews the wrong way. Listen to John chapter 10 and verse 30 and following. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Again, it's the Father. He's the Son and the Father. And he says that we are one. And the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. From which of them are you stoning me? And the Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. That they understood exactly what he was saying. God is my Father, I am the Son of God. He was declaring himself to be God. And so they wanted to stone him to death. And then they go down to verse 36. Do you say of him who the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? Jesus made it very clear that he is the Son of the living God, the eternal Son of God. In fact, at his trial, right before his crucifixion, in Luke 22:70, they said, you know, tell us plainly, are you the Christ, the Son of God? Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And he says, yes, I am. That's who he is. that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. In fact, turn to this passage in 1 John. 1 John 2, verses 22 and 23. This kind of lays it down. Another place lays it down really clear. 1 John 2, 22 and 23. Who is the liar? Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Okay, you can tell the liar. Someone denies that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the only one, that he's the anointed, you know, that he's it. That's the liar. Who's the liar? The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist. The one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Do you know that it is nothing less than Antichrist to deny the Father and the Son? To deny God the Father, to deny God the Son, that is Antichrist. It is Antichrist to deny that the Son is the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the very Son of the living God. In fact, in John 5 and in verse 23, John 5, 23, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Do you know that religions that do not honor Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, as being the Christ of God, that those religions do not honor the true and living God? They may say they're worshiping a God, but they are worshiping an idol. Because you cannot worship God apart from the Son. The only way to honor the Father is to honor His Son. In fact, Jesus said very blatantly in John 15, 23, that those that hate me hate the Father. Those that hate the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, they do not bow before who He is. He says, if you hate me, you hate the Father. Say all you want that you're following God, you're not following the true and the living God. In fact, He said in John 8, 42 to the Jews, He says, if you loved me, then you'd love the Father. I mean, you know, and so only those who love Jesus love the Father. So Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ is God who became man in the flesh. This is such a great mystery that in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Timothy 3:16, the first part, great is the mystery of godliness, that God appeared in the flesh. He appeared in the flesh. The mystery of the incarnation, where Mary and Joseph are told, you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. As it is written, the virgin will be with child and will bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is God with us. The Creator coming in the incarnation. This is the real Jesus Christ. And we're warned of other Jesuses that are presented that are not this Jesus. In 1 John chapter 4, the first three verses, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every preacher. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard that is in the world and now is already in the world. Wow. I mean, to not confess Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ come in the flesh is the spirit of Antichrist. He says the same thing in a 2 John verse 7. Many deceivers have got out into the world, and those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. I mean, that's pretty strong language from the Apostle John, the beloved disciple. And so I think I should be able to say very clearly from the authority of Scripture that Judaism, Islam, cultic Christianity, apostate Christianity are promoting the spirit of Antichrist when they deny that God became flesh in the incarnation. When people deny the virgin conception and birth and that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, that is Antichrist. Because he is the Christ, the only one, the eternal Son of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. And the real Jesus is the only Savior of sinners. It is only the Jesus Christ who is a divine as well as human. It is only the God-man Jesus Christ is the one who can mediate between God and men. In the book of Job, Job was yearning for that daysman, that advocate. Who can put a hand on me and put a hand on God the Father and can bring us together? Who can bridge that gap? And the scripture says in 1 Timothy 2:5 that there is only one mediator between God and man. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only one. The only lamb that can take away the sin of the world. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me, because he's the Son, because he's the Christ. And do you know that there are many wrong ways in life and in religion? Many, you can have your pick of them. You can have your pick of so many different kinds of Jesuses out there. But only the true Jesus is the only way to the Father. The scripture says in Acts 4:12, there is no other name given among men by where we must be saved. It is only Jesus. He is the only Savior of sinners. He's the only one that came to live for sinners and to die for sinners, a substitute in their place. He lived for them in his life, and he gave his life for them, and he gives them his life in the resurrection. That God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's only him. There's no one like Jesus. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only Savior of sinners. We read at the end of 1 John that this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. That's it. That life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's all about Jesus, the real Jesus. Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the eternal Son of God, the one who became flesh and the only Savior of sinners. And our very most basic confession is Jesus Christ is Lord. That's where it starts. We confess that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, that he is Lord, that he is Jehovah, that he is God, that he is Lord of life and Lord of death. He says in Revelation 1:18, behold, I was dead and now I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and hell. Jesus Christ is Lord over every realm of creation, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Wherever there's stuff, Jesus Christ is Lord over it. because He is Lord. He is the God who rules over the kings of the earth, the firstborn from the dead, and He rules over all nations. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is just a very brief description of the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He did. And as we leave our service today, I would just say, beware of the billboards. There's a lot of billboards out there flashing the name Jesus. Jesus this and Jesus that. Masquerading a wolf as though He is the Lamb of God. I tell you, beware of the deceptions and believe in the genuine Jesus. Romans 10 and verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then we will be saved. Well, why don't we stand for a concluding hymn of invitation? We'll sing The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing else but Jesus' blood and righteousness. Well, I hope that is your heart cry of faith today. But do you know if it is not, it can be. Oh, won't you trust in Christ today? And only Him, because all other ground is sinking sand. And so let's sing, I don't know what number it is. I think four. Oh, it's on the word.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Well, I hope if you have faith today that your faith is built on the solid rock and not on the sinking sand of so many other different Jesuses that are presented in our society. Well, I hope you're glad to be here today. Don't come back tonight because we have canceled because of the weather. We've just postponed our evening activities till next, Lord willing, next Lord's Day evening. And so enjoy the rest day and hopefully think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ descended from David and raised from the dead. Well, I'll dismiss you with a word of blessing and benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord God cause His face to shine upon you, and may He be gracious to you. May the Lord turn to you and smile, and may you have peace on this day and on all of your days and on that final great judgment day. Amen. Amen. And you are dismissed.